This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com. Welcome. You are listening to Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is April 22nd, 2020. This is show number 18. Well, Nick, when we last left, oil was taking a major beating. This morning, the president said that he was going to blow up anything that the Iranians sent near our ships. And that seems to have had a little bit of a salutary effect on the price of oil, hasn't it?
Well, it looks like it has. Right now, crude oil today is a bit higher. It looks like the June contract is up about $2.87 to around $45.50. That's a 25% increase from yesterday. So oil's definitely gaining across the board. And then if you look out into the future, which is now something that we have to do, we didn't used to look out past the current contract, but now all of the future contracts are higher as well. So pretty good day overall for crude, and the Trump comments probably gave a little spark to that price.
Yeah. So, but again, it all is contingent upon the U.S. economy reopening. One thing that you've seen is protests around the country protesting this quarantine, which is what it is. They call it a lockdown order. Effectively, they've quarantined all of you in your homes, all of us, and you're not allowed to leave except under certain circumstances. And in some states, it's more draconian than others. I got to believe that in Florida here, Nick, the governor is probably, his executive order runs till April 30th. He's going to drastically cut things back and allow some semblance of normalcy to happen. And we kind of saw that. They opened up the beach in Jacksonville. So the beach is there. So maybe that's the test case.
Yeah, I think it is. And, you know, we're already starting to see other states announcing that they're going to reopen as well. I think Georgia, Tennessee, and South Carolina are the next big three. So, you know, we'll start to see things, you know, pick up a little bit, and that'll help the price of crude as well. Now, the real mover for crude is going to be when these airlines start to get up in the air. And simple solution. And I watched the Delta CEO today on one of the financial news networks. And, you know, I didn't hear him say anything about like, hey, we'll do that 5-minute Abbott Labs test before everybody gets on a plane. I mean, if you do that, people will start to get on a plane. I mean, they just don't want to get on there with somebody infected. So, you know, again, there's some simple solutions. I just don't understand why you know, the figureheads here just don't talk about them.
Yeah, well, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that that these are crazy times and really require a lot of out of the box thinking that just doesn't seem to be happening. I mean, I've even seen the New York Times, the map that I've referred to numerous times, they've totally revamped it, making it look like the number of new cases is growing again when it isn't. Yes, new cases are going up. Yesterday, they went up 35,000 in the entire country, but that's spread out, and it's just in the main areas where it really went rampant. New cases are way, way down in New York State, New York City, etc. So markets today, they're bouncing around a lot. What's your take on it?
Well, I mean, we've had a 2-day sell-off now since Monday. So, and in all fairness, if you look at, say, the NASDAQ, which and the NASDAQ 100, which is the top 100 stocks in the NASDAQ composite, stocks like Apple, Amazon, Google, they all went up into what we call a very, very important retrace level. So if your listeners will take a look at a chart, What they'll notice is if you pull up the symbol QQQ, which is the triple Qs, they really have had the biggest rally. They've recovered over basically 70% of their losses from the top in February all the way to the bottom on March 23rd. That's a remarkable recovery. But when you go up that quick and you go into what we call a resistance zone, you know, say around 215 to 218 on the triple Qs, you're going to pull back. And that's exactly what we've seen. And again, a lot of people or a lot of investors will take their lead from those triple Qs because it is such an important index. It has Amazon in there, Google, Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, stocks like Nvidia. So it really has those big, big so-called sexy stocks, you know, that the big names that everybody loves to own and everybody loves to talk about. So those stocks got a little bit ahead of themselves. Now you have earnings season coming in and those stocks are now priced for perfection. Well, we know earnings are not going to be very good this quarter, really, no matter who you are. Now, Netflix today reported earnings. They were a bit better than everybody had anticipated as far as new users go. But the reality of it is the stock ran up into that number. And today, what is Netflix doing? It's trading down 11 bucks. So again, a lot of these NASDAQ names got ahead of themselves. And that just causes the markets to do some backing and filling. But everything that I'm seeing on the charts right now is healthy to go higher.
Mm-hmm. And that's a total contrarian play because you ask the person, the man on the street, woman on the street, and they're going to say, what, are you crazy?
Yeah, yeah. Somebody sees the market down 1,000 points in 2 days on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. You know, they're panicking. I'm seeing it, and I'm like, wow, I actually like the way we're selling off. That tells me we can go higher. So, you know, it's a little bit different when you look at it from a trader and a technical perspective. So, but again, the charts are fine right now. They just continue to chop around. And, you know, pullbacks are healthy. You want to see that. You don't want to see markets go straight up in parabolic fashion, because when that happens, that's when the real problems occur. Hence what we saw back in January and February of 2020, where the markets just went parabolic and you see how many things came crashing down.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. If we had seen this kind of decline over a period of 6-8 months, yeah, it would have been concerning and all that, but wouldn't have been a panic like it is now. And then you see it just go back as much as it has, retraced as much of its losses as it has. It probably needs a breather, huh?
It does. It does. And I always like to use the analogy, if you're in Colorado and you want to go hiking, you never really want to run up the mountain. Anybody that I've ever seen running up a mountain where it's, you know, 9,000 foot elevation, they're going to run out of breath pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Now, if you walk up the mountain and you take your time and you go on a steady incline, you don't go too steep too quickly, you're going to have a lot more energy and you'll keep that pace going. And that's really the same way markets work. It's almost like mountain climbing. You know, you don't want to go vertical, because if you go vertical, when you come down, you're going to come down the same way. You want to go up in that nice, just a couple degrees of an incline trajectory. That's going to give you a more sustainable pace. And that's just the way markets work. So when you go up too fast, you will pull back. You will come back down. And again, nothing goes up in a straight line. That's the old saying here.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about silver, but let's just go back to ETFs. They've been known to implode before in the past. We look at USO and others right now. They're definitely having issues. What's the future of ETFs?
Well, this isn't the first rodeo for this, for the USO or for any of these ETFs out here. We just saw it recently in volatility, right? Some of these volatility ETFs just, you know, really got hammered as well, shorting volatility when, you know, the VIX went up to around 85 or so, and that was just a month ago. So we've seen this before. And again, the one thing I think the USO is doing, the USO oil ETF, is they're now going ahead and restructuring. So they're trying to, you know, keep some equilibrium in the game here. They're not trying to, you know, make a big bet one way or the other. So I actually think they have a fair chance of this not folding. So we'll see where it goes. But, you know, anytime traders don't realize, but anytime you trade an ETF, especially something that is commodity based or something that is leveraged, USO is not leveraged. They just go out and take these future contracts. And it has tracked oil pretty closely, chart pattern wise, not price wise. But with that being said, this time around, nobody ever expected the current contract, or the May contract, I should say, to go negative. I mean, I've never seen that in my life. So that's unprecedented. And unfortunately, you know, that hurt USO pretty badly. So we'll see how it goes forward. It looks like they've done some restructuring here. And but every trader should remember, I don't care if it's Microsoft or Apple or USO, everything can fold. That's why it's called trading. There's risk involved. There's nothing that's sacred out here. And with that being said, full disclosure, I own USO call options in October $5 strike. So, you know, that's the way when I see something like that and I think there's an opportunity, I don't actually go and buy the equity. I just take an option, which is just a fraction of the price. And I can make a big percentage gain if I'm right. And if I'm wrong, I lose the premium that I paid. I already know my loss, maximum loss, before I even get into the play.
Hey, well, one interesting thing that I wanted to ask you about is if the ETF went up in smoke, then the options basically
will expire worthless.
Well, will they expire worthless? Because the option is a contract to deliver X number of shares at a date in the future. But if there are no shares to deliver, what happens? it's impossible.
It'll expire worthless.
So that's how it works. Okay.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I even did that via the option market. Going into any trade, you know there's risk involved. And right now, there's really no demand for oil. And I have not been bullish oil in a long, long time regardless. But at this stage of the game, when we're this low, yeah, you get the economy going. Guess what? We're going to need to make some oil here. We're going to need to produce oil, and oil is going to need to be refined for everything that we use. I mean, you can look on your desk, and I don't care if it's your computer to the bottle or can that you're drinking out of. There's oil in everything. Go into your car. I can't tell you how much oil goes into a single tire. So, you know, we need oil. We're not getting off of oil anytime soon. It's just that right now with the shutdown, you know, we have a massive amount. We can't store it. So, again, that's why I took the Octobers. Now I just got to hope that USO stays in business.
Yeah, which is not in our control, but the president seems intent on bailing out the oil companies, and maybe rather than writing a check, it's better to threaten Iran and disrupt the geopolitical scene, and that'll drive the price up there and save them, perhaps.
Perhaps. You know, you got to think about it at this stage of the game. I mean, yeah, the threat to Iran definitely gives a little spark, but how much can it really do? You know, Saudi Arabia is a huge producer. Iraq produces. I mean, you have all of Syria. You have all these countries in the Middle East that produce oil, and really it's got no place to go. It has no home right now because we just can't use it up.
Yep, right now there's just no place. So silver, let's talk about that.
Yeah, so I got into a silver trade here. I own the SLV. I did it via that way, another ETF, right? So, again, up nicely today, up 1%, and I'm nicely up on that trade by about 1.5% at the moment. But when I look at the chart pattern of silver, I mean, it really looks very, very good. I love this pattern. I love what it did yesterday. I love the way it retraced back into the April 6th pivot. So April 6th, it broke out to the upside. We did a back test. That's one of my favorite trades, back testing into the prior breakout area. And again, I think the SLV wants to go up to $16. If you're looking at spot silver, I mean, the chart is poised for 17. And I've been, you know, on the program telling you that. And I already took a trade in silver a while ago. I made 25% on it. It was an options play in one day. So, you know, I'm looking to kind of repeat that performance this time around. But I like the chart. And what people don't understand, if the economy gets going again, and I'm not saying we're going to roar and soar to new all-time highs yet, but what I'm saying, if we start to pick up and business starts to get moving, there's a lot of industrial use for silver as well. So again, silver is, you know, known as the red-headed stepchild to the movement in gold. But, you know, silver has a lot of industrial value as well. So we're going to be watching that pretty closely. I'm in it. And I'm in it to win it. So we'll see if it can do what I think it's going
to
do.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see. Hey, if it can go up, you know, from 13 to 16, that's a pretty substantial move in a relatively short period of time. What kind of time are you giving it? Because you bought the actual ETF here.
Yeah, so I own this, the SLV right now. And again, I think we could probably get there, you know, within the next month and a half or even less. You know, I would think a month and a half.
Mm-hmm. All right. Interesting. Interesting times, interesting markets for sure. If you want to find out more, go over to Nick's site, inthemoneystocks.com. Check out Nick's performance in real time and take a look at the training materials available there at no expense. I think you'll be impressed. And questions or comments, why don't you write us an email? Let us know what you think. KL@CarrieLutz.com. KL@CarrieLutz.com. Nick, we'll pick up tomorrow. Take care.
Have a great day, Kerry.
This is your dose of daily market wisdom with master trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to inthemoneystocks.com.